Contributors to this project include Tracy Carrillo, who's a technician, Jay Lily White, who's an ag economist, and Jane Pierce, integrated pest management specialist in Artesia, Scott Bundy, who's also IPM at Las Cruces, and Jeff Drake, who works with APHIS and is an engineer and is doing pattern recognition for insect identification. Insects are normally distributed either in random, clumped, or regular distributions. In almost all agricultural systems, they are distributed in clumps. So these can be either small clumps, as in A here, or border effects, as in B, or very large clumps, sometimes which impinge on each other. 2 years ago, we designed and built an all-terrain vehicle to sample insects and also to deliver granular insecticides. How do I get back here? Okay, thank you. So anyhow, so the insect collector then has this big tube on the front of it is a vacuum sampler, and it has a 4,200 cubic foot vacuum. In addition to that, then in front there we have two, on this particular model we have three INTEC sensors, and they sense infrared. They shine red light on the plants. Infrared comes back, goes to a Raven controller, and then back to the granular applicator, which is a Gandy, which is hydraulically controlled. The vehicle is also hydraulically controlled and four-wheel drive. So the first question was, what percent of the insect population do we sample with a vacuum sampler? And then also, how many replications do we need, and what size of replications do we need to get a given confidence level? So we designed and built this contraption several years ago, and it's a clamshell device to determine how many absolute insects are left on plants, absolute in quotes. So we sample 5 fields in 100 different quadrants, 13 to 40 times with a vacuum sampler. Clamshell was back through those plots then with 10 absolute residual samples, and we also took 50 sweep net samples over 2 rows at the same time. Results of the clamshell samples were then that 24 genera of insects were evaluated. The hand net collected on average 8.7% of the insects. Vacuum sampler collected a range of from 14 to 64% of the insects present, so an average of 32%. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, but we evaluated 26 different genera, and that included moths and larvae, and we don't do a good job on those groups, but we do a very good job on parasitic Hymenoptera and the true bugs, for example. So what is the optimum quadrat size? We took 590 100-foot samples end-to-end 12 times in cotton fields over a 3-year period. So we took 100 row feet, another 100 row feet, another 100 row feet, and we could then analyze that as a nested design as 100 row feet, 200 row feet, 300 row feet, and so on. So the results are intuitive necessarily, and that is the larger the quadrat size, the worse the data set. So we evaluated minute pirate bugs, Liguus adults, Nabbit adults, and big-eyed bug adults. If you look at this, for Liguus adults out of 1,000 row feet, it took 35 replications to estimate the density to within 80% plus or minus 5% of their true means. If you came back to 100 row feet, then it only took 5 replications. So the problem here, so the solution to this is that the shorter the quadrats, the less work you have to put into it and the better the data. And the reason is, as you go out over larger areas, you go over different clumps of insects, and the data becomes much more variable. So again, the optimum way to do this is the smaller the replications, the better, and as long as you don't get too many zeros in the data set. For us in New Mexico, that's about 100 row feet. Advantages of vacuum sampling then are higher number of insect sample per area, reduced hand labor, reduced variability, particularly good at sampling parasites, predators, Liguus, and 1 to 3 instar bollworm larvae. So when you sample large numbers of insects with a vacuum sampler, the next problem becomes, how do you count and classify these things? And you end up with a big pile of insects, and it's just pure hell to sit there and count them, as numerous students over the years can testify. So we've worked for a number of years on how to count and classify insects by computer, and this is what Jeff Drake is working at. And basically, he takes a digital photograph above and below the insects, and I think he's up to 60 or so measurements now, and the level of accuracy is about 95%. True bugs are the hardest to identify. Beetles are the easiest to identify because they're very consistent. So we'll field test this this system this summer, and try to make it something that's really very applicable. This slide, the next two slides, are results from nitrogen application tests in Las Cruces at the Plant Science Farm. And then on 2003, the red line there is for Liguus adults, and you can see there was a fairly large population. These are absolute Liguus per 100 row feet then, and there were 30. The nitrogen applications, this is a lay-by, were 135 pounds and 45 pounds. The bars are predator-prey ratios, and as we went down in the rate of nitrogen, the predator-prey ratio went up, and the Liguus population went down, because Liguus are looking for nitrogen, and the predator population gets their nitrogen out of their prey. So they're not directly affected by nitrogen applications to the plant. Applications of chloropyrifos were put on by pink bollworm eradication in that year, and they put on 5 applications. So they didn't control Liguus very well, but they did reduce the predator population pretty well. The next year, in 2004, they put on 135 and 45 pounds of nitrogen, and again, the predator-prey ratio was increased at the lower nitrogen rates. The Liguus populations went down with reduced nitrogen application. And in 2005, then we had 50, 80, 115, 142, and 234 pounds of nitrogen. As the nitrogen rate went down, the predator-prey ratio went up to 30.5 to 1, and the Liguus population was very low and decreased with decreasing nitrogen applications. And last year was a very high population of Lygus because we had a rainy, very rainy summer, rain nearly every day. Very high population of Lygus, but again the same trend occurred, and that is that Lygus population went down with lower populations of nitrogen. And finally, I want to say that under our conditions, if you look at profit, 80 pounds of nitrogen at lay-by was optimal. And so we need to look at profit instead of yield all the time. And reducing nitrogen is a good way of bringing down populations of Lygus in a more natural way. Benefits from precision cotton production then are lower use of nitrogen fertilizer, optimized water use, no insecticide use, no plant hormones, no defoliants, reduced environmental contaminants in soil and water. Benefits from precision cotton production also include then better predator-prey ratios, reduced expenditures of time and money, improved profit margins, ability to grow transitional or organic. So it's only a short step from here to go organic and get rid of chemicals totally in these systems. Thank you.